I am fired up to be talking today with one of the greatest rugby players of all time, former All Blacks fly half, entrepreneur and philanthropist, Dan Carter. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, Ben. How are you, mate?
I'm doing awesome. But I should actually welcome your son as well, since we got the whole family there today.
The whole family. I've got young crew. He's 9 months. He's joining us today, so you might hear a few noises like that in the background. He thinks he's a lion at the moment, so he's always giving him roars. So he's around. I've got three other kids. We're getting out of bed soon too. So a bit of a madhouse at the moment, but
that's awesome.
Love it.
Well, hopefully it's a good first interview for him. But I was trying to think about, like, where do we start today, and two things, you know, came to my mind. I was like, do we go right into your several World Sexiest Man nominations, or that I heard the Patriots, Mr. Kraft, offered you an NFL contract? So we'll keep it to the NFL. So is that true that you got offered a contract?
It was a really interesting process, actually. I thought I was getting a look at the beautiful facilities in Boston. So I rocked up there. And the head of scouting goes straight away, let's go kick. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm game. But unfortunately, I just injured my Achilles tendon, so I couldn't kick. So I was like, he's like, okay, well, Mr. Kraft, he wants to see you. So I walked straight into his office. So I thought, oh, this is nice. Maybe he's going to welcome me to the facilities. They've seen a bit of me kicking on YouTube. You know, a little bit of small talk, a little meet and greet. I walked straight into his office, and he was like, how long have you wanted to play in the NFL? What are you going to bring to the team? He was straight to the point, and I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, cool. Just started answering these questions. Sat with the head of scouting and just talked about Mr. Kraft. He thinks a little bit outside the box. This could be a great opportunity. Had a great meeting with him, and then went to the special teams coach, and we went through all the kickers in the league and the importance of the plant foot. And as a kicker, I love that. We had about 2 hours together just talking kicking, and it was like in heaven for me. So I absolutely love that. And then eventually I got my tour of the facilities. There are a couple of players in there. It was a great experience. And then at the end, they gave me a ball, which I still have just next door, actually. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Patriots ball. They said, look, we want to see some video clips of you kicking this pigskin. We want to know if you can actually do it or not. And if you can, we're keen for you to come to tryouts. So this is just before the 2015 World Cup. And I'm like, man, I've kind of got this big World Cup. This is my fourth and last World Cup. I need to kind of put my mind to that. So I was like, what do I do? Like, do I take my whole family to the US? Do I give this a go, or what do I do? I ended up signing a contract in France and continuing my rugby journey. So it was always a bit of a fantasy. I always thought it'd be a great retirement plan to be an NFL kicker, because, you know, I don't have to tackle anymore. I don't have to pass the ball anymore. I don't have to worry about strategy. I can just do what I love, and that's kicking goals.
Well, I know the Crafts, they like rugby players, because Nate Ebner, I think, was he on the World Cup team too? Or he was?
Yeah. I know Nate. He was actually there when I went for the tour. He took me around. As soon as he found out that I was coming along, he was my personal chauffeur for the day at in Boston. It was awesome.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we'll make sure maybe the Bucks have a spot down in Tampa. I'm just throwing it out there, you know, end up in Tampa, man. It's pretty nice weather, so we'll leave it at that. But, I know, you know, you've been playing rugby since like a really young age, and I feel like rugby in New Zealand's like baseball here in the States, that you just kind of grow up playing. But was it just something that kind of came natural to you, or did you always have like a desire, like something drawing you there to the sport?
Yeah, it's like a religion here in New Zealand. It's what kids grow up and love and do. My parents came, played rugby, and it's all I ever wanted to be. Ever since I was 5 years old, the inaugural Rugby World Cup was played here in New Zealand, and the All Blacks won. And as a little five-year-old, I was looking up to these like guys like John Kirwan, David Kirk, and I was trying to implement everything they did on the backyard. And so something was ingrained in me then. It's like, that's my dream. All I want to do is be an All Black. So 5 years old, that was my dream.
Yeah.
And thankfully, 16 years later, I was able to fulfill that dream and play my first game for the All Blacks. I never actually thought it would happen, but it did. A lot of hard work, and yeah, my dream became a reality.
Must have been pretty emotional for you to kind of be out there and just like one of those pinch me moments.
Yeah, it was. Like it is literally every boy's dream here in New Zealand to be an All Black. You don't actually think it would happen. It only happens to a select few, but for you to sing your national anthem, do the traditional Māori haka before the game, and then obviously to wear the black jersey is one of the best days of my life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And is there a certain aspect of the game that you enjoy most? Is it like when you're kicking? Is it something where you're just like the teammates and all that?
So I've been retired for 12 months now, and that's when you learn what you miss about the game. And for me, it's the teamness. I don't think I could have played a individual sport. I love the changing room banter, the look that you give your teammates straight after a game in the changing room, where you kind of look at each other in the eye and go, man, we just went to war. We've worked so hard for this all week. We've just went to war. And we succeeded. There was the camaraderie, the competitiveness. So I've had to get a couple of my old ex-teammates to train with on a weekly basis to try and fulfill that banter between each other, that competitiveness, pushing each other, because there's no way I can just go to a gym and train by myself now. I need to be around. I need to be around my boys and egging each other on and pushing each other on. So
yeah, it is funny, the older I get, even just, I'm not playing a sport, but just the people you work with and working, achieving something great with other people, it ultimately is the highlight of like my career and what I do. So yeah, which is very different than what you do. So but I think I'm really excited about kind of what you have coming up here in the next week or so. But tell us about, you're launching the DC 10 Fund in partnership with UNICEF. Tell us about it and the epic feat you're trying to go after.
Yeah, so since I've retired, I've been an ambassador for UNICEF for about 7 years, and I've seen the incredible work they do for children all over the world. I've been to Jordan, where I went to a Syrian refugee camp, and just to see the work that they do firsthand, and it's incredible, and it really does hit home about how lucky my children are, even though you can probably hear them screaming in the room next door. but I always wanted to do more for UNICEF, but with my rugby calendar, I never could. And having recently retired, I was like, right, I want to try and do more. I want to use this time as I work out what the next chapter of my life is to give back. And to give back to children in need. So as an ambassador for UNICEF, I didn't always get to choose which projects I got to support. So I set up this fund called the DC 10 Fund. And I partnered with UNICEF to handpick the specific UNICEF projects that I was really passionate about and held close to my heart. So I launched the DC 10 Fund last week, and I'm doing work here in New Zealand to help support the kids here in New Zealand, but also in the Pacific Islands. So the Pacific Islands are our neighboring countries. There's a lot of island boys that I grew up and played with. They're a big part of the rugby community. So I wanted to give back to the children in the Pacific, and I'm doing that by one of the programs, we were providing fresh water, sanitation and hygiene and for kids in the Pacific Islands. And it's one of the leading causes of death for children under five in the Pacific Islands, not having access to something we just take for granted here, our kids do, and that's clean water. So I thought that's something that I'd love to try and support. And obviously I need a fundraising event to try and raise some money for this. So I took my two passions, and one of them's giving back, and the other one's rugby and kicking goals. It's something I've always done ever since I was a kid, and I just love kicking goals. So I was like, well, why not try and kick goals for 24 hours straight. So I'm at Eden Park in New Zealand's National Stadium, where I'm going to attempt to kick goals for 24 hours straight. It's something that's never been done before, but I've been training hard for this for 6 months, so fingers crossed I can do it.
What do you think your success percentage will be?
It's great because it's live streamed and it's all recorded, so there's no place to hide. So they'll be recording every single kick, successful and missed, and there will be a percentage. So in my rugby career, I was, you know, we kick from all different angles, distances. I would always try and kick in the 80% plus mark. I'm just 23 meters out, so it's very easy kicks. I want to try and last the 24 hours. If I start doing shots from 50 meters, from all different angles, I might fall over. So 23 meters. I got to be in the 90s, easy. I'm going to kick with both feet, my left and right.
Okay.
That's important. So the last kick I ever did in the All Black jersey, I did it with my wrong foot. In the World Cup final 2015, I lined it up, and we tribute to my father who taught me to kick off both feet. Did my last conversion of the Black jersey with my wrong foot, so I'll be kicking both left and right feet on the day.
That's awesome. We'll make sure to include links to all you're up to. People can donate, check it out, watch, and all that, and obviously support. That's really cool. I'm excited to watch. It was funny, I was looking up, and I know you kind of teased the DC 10, and I know DC 10 is a club in Spain, and people were like rumoring that you were like opening maybe a club in Spain or something. I saw that, I was laughing, just like kind of knowing you, that like that maybe isn't the thing you're doing. So
yeah, no, it's a few people thought I was getting into hospitality, and I had a night at DC 10, the nightclub in Ibiza, and obviously I got introduced to the owners, and they go, "You're DC 10, man." Yeah. No, we're the only DC 10 in the world. And we had a bit of a standoff, so it was all in light humor. It was quite a hard case, but the amount of friends that thought I was opening up a nightclub was great to see that speculation.
That's awesome. So I know beyond DC 10 fun, you have a lot going on off the field now in your retirement. You're an author of your own autobiography, documentary. You have a glorious NFT studio and marketplace. Like, tell us a little bit more about what you have going on.
Yes, there's a bit going on. Man. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it is that I'm going to focus on this next chapter of my life. But I love bringing the learnings that I got from being a professional sports person in terms of leadership, in terms of culture, in terms of dealing with resilience, in terms of high performance, and bringing these to businesses. So I thought I was going to take a year out after retiring, and I ended up getting involved in three different startups. You've mentioned a couple of them just there, in the NFT company, in retail, and also producing a book as well, that I really just wanted to bring those experiences and knowledge to the businesses that I'm involved in. So yeah, there's a lot going on between that and juggling four children. It's pretty manic at times, but I wouldn't want it either way. It's what I love.
That's awesome. Well, we'll make sure to include links to Glorious NFT studio and all the other stuff as well for people to check out. And last question is, I know just a few weeks back you turned 40. I'm turning 40 here in about 10 days. Give me some quick advice in your short-lived 40s. What would you say?
Oh man, it's I remember when I was a kid, my parents turned 40. They're like, "You're over the hill." But man, I feel like life is getting started. This is I'm excited for my next 40 years. I was very grateful to be able to achieve a lot on the sporting field my first 40 years, but man, it's exciting. Make sure you bring it in style, get some good friends and then family around, and have a bit of fun and enjoy it. But there's so much more to come, man. We're just getting started, so
yes sir,
appreciate your support, Ben.
Yes, sir. Well, Dan, can't thank you enough for your time today. It means a lot. And best of luck with the kickathon. We'll be paying close attention. And thanks for letting us in on your home life a little bit this morning.
I appreciate that. And I do apologize for all the screaming and kids' toys in the background. It's but always great to speak to you, Ben. And like I said before, thanks so much for your support.